Hi, Dan.
Hi, Jason.
Can you go outside? Do you have snow?
We do have snow, although a lot of it turned to rain, so most of it's been washed away. So
yuck.
It's a little gross out there, but one could walk outside were one so inclined.
That must be nice. I've been inside for a week.
I did not leave the house yet. I did before this show. I got up and I changed out of the leisure wear I was wearing. My pajamas.
I'm still in the leisure wear. Yeah.
I felt I was getting sluggish. I was getting a little cooped up. I was like, I need to go put on real clothes, and then maybe after our midday for me podcast recording, I will venture out and try to get some work done elsewhere. Because sometimes when I'm at home, I get so sluggish and distracted that I won't. This morning I was working on writing something, and it took me 4 hours to write 1,500 words, which is not a lot of words. But it's harder for me to focus, so it took a little more time than usual.
I have. We can't go outside because it's hazardous air outside for the last week.
Oh yeah, that's right. You guys are in the fire zone.
Yeah, we're downrange, but it doesn't matter because we're
everywhere in California.
We're close. Well, there's in Northern California, and there's inversion layer. So basically, there's warmer air above the cooler air that traps the cooler air and all the smoke that's in it. And until the wind shifts next week sometime, we basically can't go outside. My kid's school was closed today because of hazardous air.
I've seen that going around this morning. It's unfortunate.
Yeah, it's not great. What's going on? I posted my iPad Pro review, so I'm finally back to business of other things now that I finally did that. That took a long time to get through all of the Apple product reviews, but I'm done.
There was a lot. Yes, you're free. Welcome to this world where we've been enjoying flying cars and jetpacks.
What?
Well, you've been gone. Yeah,
I missed those stories.
There have been some advances. No, nothing has happened. It's been very quiet, actually. We've hit you get that ramp up when there's an event, and then the products usually these days come so quickly on the heels of the event that you get an immediate onslaught of all the reviews and people's experiences using them and unboxing videos and all that jazz. And then a few days after that, everything kind of tapers off a little bit. So it's been quiet otherwise, I think, in the technology. I keep scanning the headlines, as is my wont, and I haven't seen... There hasn't been a lot that jumped out at me.
Yeah, well, good.
Yes, I guess. Yeah, that's something.
Good. You and I were talking yesterday about how we've both been writing... So we both write weekly columns for Macworld, which confuses a lot of people because they're like, I thought you didn't work at Macworld, or they think we do work at Macworld. Every now and then I get somebody who complains about the ads on Macworld. I'm like,
oh, yeah, same.
I spent a long time fighting about the ads on Macworld, but it's not my job anymore. And they pay me to write things on their site, and I appreciate that the check's clear. But we've been writing weekly for them since... spring of 2015?
Yep. 3.5 years or so there.
Yeah, and I've said this in a whole bunch of different venues, but I remember being amazed that David Pogue could write 12 columns a year. And we do 52 of them, and you're supposed to come up with different subjects every now and then, and you were saying to me how you were looking at your archive and discovered that you had not only written your same column idea before, but with the same items in it.
Yeah, that was I literally got a few hundred words into it, and I'm like, okay, this is a good piece. And you got that tickle at the back of your head that this feels weirdly
almost
familiar.
Too easy.
Yeah, and then I went and looked, and it was three products lines Apple should resurrect using the MacBook Air and the Mac Mini kind of as a jumping off point. And in my mind, they were the airport base station line, the iPod, and external displays. And it was literally, I found a piece I'd written 2 years ago in October, that was like three Apple product lines that could use some more love, and it was literally the exact same three. And I was like, oh, well, A, nothing has happened in 2 years, other than all of those things being like more or less officially dead. And B, I probably should find something else to write about. So, yeah, I had to change gears a little bit there. So, yeah, I mean, I figured, like, if I had three different products, I feel like it was different enough I could have slipped. But the fact that it was the same exact product lines, I was like, yeah, I could probably write this. And maybe nobody would notice except for me.
Yeah.
But I feel bad.
Yeah, I have absolutely had that same feeling of like, hey, have I written this before? It seems like I'll do a search and I'll find something. And sometimes it's like literally I wrote it before, and then I just like, okay, I'm not going to write this.
Yes.
And other times I will find that I touched on the subject, but in a different way. And I'll be like, all right, it's fair game.
That's fair game.
Also, I don't remember, probably most people don't remember. And if you don't remember, it's new to you. NBC taught me that. So,
That's right.
I've had that same thing because so here's the columnist, little inside baseball. It's the secret podcast. Inside baseball story is that what you do is you get really happy about certain cycles, certain times of year, because there's like every quarter. I go into the MacWorld Slack and I ask Roman, but like every quarter, I usually do a what are Apple's results going to be and what should we look for the week before Apple's quarterly results come out. And then I do a post quarterly results analysis. So that's 8 of the 52 right there.
Sure.
I usually do a wish list for the Mac and the iPhone and the iPad separately at the end of the year for what I'd like to see the next year.
Right.
Often there's also a how'd I do with my wish list last year column. So that's another one.
Yeah.
While I was talking to you yesterday, because I was looking up how long we've been doing this, I discovered that some years, Thanksgiving week, I write a things I'm thankful for column.
Ooh, there you go.
Sometimes there's a new product that I've got access to, and I'll write a piece. Like I wrote a piece about the Mac Book Air or something that they had. They had one too, but I was able to kind of like jump on that. And I wrote a piece, a hands-on piece for the iPads or something. Like there's occasionally I'll do pieces like that. So what I'm saying is I can try to get that I need an original idea thing down to a smaller number. It's still a really big number though.
Right. But you get like there are benefits, right? When Apple announces an event, you get like what might we see or other details. And when after Apple announces its products, there's usually obviously a lot more stuff to dig through that can keep you going for a couple weeks as you sort of like pick through the tea leaves of like, well, they announced these things, but what does that signify, or like what are the little details you might have missed, etc. But yeah, that unfortunately those are not like eternal wellsprings, so you sooner or later you find yourself back at the staring at your computer trying to think, what can I write 800 words about.
and some weeks it's like this week, it was actually super smooth. I had an idea. It was actually an idea that was small enough that when I was done writing, I was at 800 words, which is the target. Mm-hmm. Usually, the ideas are bigger, and I write 1,200 words or something, and it's the Mark Twain thing, which is I didn't have enough time to make this shorter. Here it is.
More time, I could have written less.
The 1,200 words. You're going to just take it, and it's fine.
I often find that I'm struggling to get to the 800 mark, but then after I finish my first run through, I go back and reread it, and then as I'm adding stuff, I usually pat it well over the mark, like just because the stuff doesn't flow quite right in that first draft. So I'll go back and I'll add stuff, and I'll be like, oh yeah, just sort of rounding this out and making it sound more intelligible and complete puts me well over that mark there, which is nice. I do that in all forms of writing. So you, like, get the bare bone idea down. Worry that you don't have enough stuff, then go back and realize, like, oh, there's all these other little details I could have added.
Yeah. Anyway, it's weird. it's weird, but it's nice to have that, and that's in my what I found even in this last 2 months when I've been doing all this kind of like doing Apple stuff here and there and travel and all of that. It is kind of nice to have a deadline that's every week.
Sure, yeah.
That's why we're subjected to the tyranny of the calendar for this podcast now.
That's right, because it helps to, it gets you some structure.
In this case, structure, Dan, it literally got me out of bed this morning, because it was 9 o'clock and I was still in bed and it was time to do the podcast.
I am sure you're not the only person who says to themselves, you know, that secret podcast really gets me out of bed in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure there's at least one person out there who's a listener who says the same thing. And hi to Joe Steele. I've got some Six Colors business. People should have gotten an email, or in one case, probably two emails from me about we're doing this merchandise sale right now. So there's the Incomparable and Six Colors, and there's all this stuff going on right now where we're selling stuff, basically. I don't think the Six Colors shirt is back on sale now, but if you are a Relay upgrade, there's stuff out there. Don't buy it if you don't want to. We appreciate your support here, but if you would like stuff with fun things that are logos that are reminiscent of stuff that Dan and I do, they're available. Hopefully a Dan shirt is coming back too, but that hasn't happened yet, right?
It is supposed to. I'll tell you all, it's supposed to happen. It hasn't happened yet. We're always at the whims of our merchandising partners.
Yeah. Anyway,
to a certain extent.
So if you are a fan of some of the other stuff we do, I should really ask them about bringing the Six Colors logo back. I don't know why that's not back yet. Maybe later. There's Incomparable and Upgrade stuff, and hopefully Caledonian Gambit / what should I generically call that universe? the Morinverse.
Yeah, that's fine. I call it the Galactic Cold War, but I realize it's kind of a mouthful.
Yeah, I like that, though. That's good.
Yeah, it's got some catchiness to it.
Yeah, totally. So anyway, just a little side note there that you probably don't care, but and I'm sorry if you end up spending money on a Dongletown t-shirt, but it's a cool t-shirt. So
it is a nice t-shirt.
But anyway, we make those,
I like the design.
Honestly, we make those more... I don't know what the perception is of like podcast merch, especially, but we make those more because we think that they're fun and we want to have them than we do as a huge money making opportunity. We make a little bit of a profit from it, which is nice, but that's kind of not like why they exist. They exist because people seem to like them and we like them. And you know, you should see the size of my Cotton Bureau car right now. I am buying so much stuff from them, and it's not just my own stuff. It's stuff that friends of mine have done and all that. So like, you know, believe me, it's not
we're spending as much as we're making, probably.
Anyway, so yeah, that's going on too. So you might see something about that, but you might not. It's fine. I learned a lot about MailChimp this week, though. So that was exciting.
I have my own little mailing list on my website, and it is I don't use MailChimp because I tried to use it once and was like, it felt like such huge overkill to what I was trying to do. So I use actually a service called MailerLite, which is like it's the same idea as a MailChimp, but it feels a little friendlier to me and not quite as industrial. And you know, I think it's free up to like a couple thousand mailing list people, which is, I'm like, if I get to a couple thousand mailing list people, God knows I can afford to upgrade.
Yeah.
But yeah, if sending out like bulk emails is a weird experience, I find. I don't know. Like, you know, you send out the Six Colors magazine every month, and it's just such a bizarre, like the fact that email exists and is still so integral to everything that we do on the web is kind of mind-blowing, because you know there's a lot of problems with email, but you can't get rid of it.
Yeah, it's well, I mean, so much validation goes through that, right? Like,
sure, right? Like if you make an account, put your email address on it, you know, click through those validations, you know, and yet there is so much, like I get 20 emails in the morning, at least when I open my mailbox.
Oh,
and
God.
Like 19 of them are worthless.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, email's going away too. My kids use email and they literally use email only for things like password resets. Yeah. It's like a, it's almost like a driver's license, basically. It's like a some kind of stable form of identification, but like they don't, and I don't particularly like using email too, but it is a way to reach people that otherwise are not reachable, which is I guess why we do it. Like I can't make you as a Six Colors member join the Six Colors membership Slack, but I can communicate to people in the membership Slack, and that's really great, but I can't make people use it. Because right. Some people don't want to use it, and that's fine. I mean, speaking of MailChimp, so sending out these things, I was sending out codes for Incomparable members to get their at higher levels of support. Comparable, for those who don't know, has higher levels of support. Six Colors just has the one level, but Incomparable, you can spend more money, and it goes to the podcast you pick and all of that, and you get some stuff from it. We haven't done that here, but that's the case over there. And this year, I'm having Cotton Bureau fulfill all of that instead of me doing it myself in my garage, because it was a lot of work, and they generated like codes and stuff, and so I had to do like a mail merge, and I guess what I'm saying is it was really complicated, but I learned a lot. That was yeah, nice. Wow. But it was super complicated, so that was my lesson for yesterday afternoon, an unexpected diversion yesterday afternoon, but you know, it's fine. We do have in fact, and my to-do list for yesterday, which has gotten pushed to today, is me sending out my little warning shot to you and Stephen Hackett. Yeah. About the next Six Colors magazine, because it's mid-month now.
Yeah. And I for me it's even more pressing, because I am going on vacation next week.
What?
I will be gone for
what?
Like nine or 10 days.
What?
And yeah, so I got to get my...
I can't go higher than that.
I got to get my column in before I leave, because, spoiler, I'm not writing it while I'm on vacation.
Wow. Yeah, you ought not to do that. So you're gone. But Dan, what will become of the secret podcast next week? We may have to skip it.
Yeah, it's possible. Or we'll have to do it early next week. I'm leaving on Thanksgiving. This is a strange thing that I have been inveigled into by my fiance, because her plan was, let's go somewhere when it's cold, and let's go on Thanksgiving. And I was like, that seems strange, but okay, we'll give it a shot. So next week we are going to Mexico.
Oh, nice.
For a few days.
Is it the cold part of Mexico? There is no cold part.
We are going to Mexico City for a couple days, which will not be super warm. But then we are going to the Yucatan Peninsula, which should be very pleasant.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Watch out for asteroids while you're there.
Okay. Yeah. Duly noted. Okay. I'll add that to my list of things to look out for.
Oh, the good news, Dan, is your thing we like is already written.
I know. I was thinking about that today. I was like, oh, I wrote something for last month's issue that didn't make it in. So I'm one down, which means I only have to write one more column, which is fine. Easy.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. Maybe what we should do after we record this episode of The Secret Podcast is record like a really dumb filler episode that just is set to go out on Thanksgiving Day and just says, Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll see you in a week. And... is super sincere.
I feel like you kind of just did that. Like we just did that in this episode.
Well, then maybe we won't do that next time.
Well, I thought that you were going to say we should just record another episode where we just make up everything that happened over the next 7 days.
Oh, man. That would be very experimental for this podcast, wouldn't it?
A little dangerous, too, in the current climate. You never know. Like, I don't think we could come up with anything crazy enough that it couldn't actually happen in the next week.
Yeah. Well, in the background while you were saying that, I created the Google Doc. So there it is.
Okay.
You can write your back page column. I'll write a couple of things. Stephen Hackett will pour in his thing. We'll get that out by the end of the month. And people can find out about a board game you like, which is fun because there's a board game draft coming on the Incomparable pretty soon, too.
Synergy.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Keeps getting better. The longer I don't post that story, the better it gets.
It's just like a fine wine.
It's amazing. It's incredible. Oh, what a relief to have that review done. Oh, look, I left the Incomparable live stream on last night. Well, it happens, you know.
It's all right. I usually turn it on or off at least two or three times every time I try to use it. So.
Yeah, I've seen that,
and sometimes
too.
When I'm not trying to use it.
I've seen that, too. Well, so now that I have stopped posting multi-thousand word reviews of Apple products to Six Colors, I guess I'll go back to start posting like links and stuff, which... This week, usually we do a pretty good job of linking things compared to, like, I look at Gruber, and Gruber often has links, but I feel like we get other links, too, and we're in there. And this week, he's been posting links, and I'm like, dude, how are you? And it's like, oh, he already wrote his review, so he's got time to post links. I'm like, I have no time to post links. But
he's ahead of the game.
Have to get back in the swing of that, especially if you're on vacation. That's going to be
That will be a little
extra confusing.
A little dicey. Yeah. A little dicey.
All right, yeah, well, I'll get back to it. Back to it. Back to it.
And then we'll be into December.
Let all of the best of the year lists and predictions for next year. And
so many gift guides.
Oh, boy.
I get so many emails still about people who are like, are you preparing a gift guide?
A gift guide.
Like, nope.
Oh, my God. The gift guides at Macworld, the gift guides would start in August.
Yeah.
And would just go forever. It was, and there's nothing worse than in the middle of the summer working on a holiday gift guide. That's the worst.
Because, like, what do you know? I mean, like, I guess there's some stuff that's
gift certificate.
I just remember not enjoying doing those.
Yeah,
those were not fun because it was invariably like, you know, there was so much crap to sort through was the problem. Like, there might be a gem in there, right? Like, there might be something awesome that is in among all the chaff, and the only way to find it is to go and look at all that crap. You know who's good at that? Dan Frakes was good at that.
Yes, he was. Our friend Dan Frakes, who now is an Apple employee.
Disappeared behind the monochrome rainbow, white and black curtain.
No, behind the rainbow curtain. Six colors. No, you're right. Behind
that's
them,
that's our curtain.
That's
we
our
took
curtain.
The rainbow curtain.
My shower curtain. behind the monochrome curtain, never to be seen again. He lives like a mile away from Apple, though, so it's actually a pretty when they said for those who don't know, Dan Frakes wrote Mac Gems for many years, along with other things, the Mac Gems column for Macworld, where he highlighted interesting Mac software that you should try. That was good. That was the whole premise of it. He didn't invent it, but Rick LePage invented it, but Dan took it over and ran it for years. And in that last wave of layoffs, Dan left and has spent the last few years at the Wirecutter doing great stuff. Apple hired him after apparently several people, including me, said to the people who are hiring for the Mac App Store, you know, the person you should talk to is Dan Frakes. He literally did this job as the Mac Gems writer at Macworld for years, highlighting Mac software, which is what the Mac App Store editorial team is doing. And he lives a mile away from Apple and therefore won't have to move or do a long commute on a Wi-Fi bus or anything like that. And in the end, guess what? They actually hired him, which I think is kind of miraculous, because when do you see something line up that perfectly and have it kind of go all the way to fruition? But it did. And that means we will no longer hear from Dan Frakes anywhere ever again.
I am a little tickled about the idea that he finally has to go into an office after how many years.
That's true. Because he was, when all the time he worked at Macworld, he worked at home, and at the Wirecutter, he worked at home. And yes, he's going to have to go. Although I wouldn't put past him that he starts doing some work from home time, even though he's only like a mile away.
Like, but 10 minutes. Yeah.
But it will be, to get to Infinite Loop, which is where that job is, I believe. It's at Infinite Loop. That's like, he doesn't have to go on a freeway. He probably will go on a freeway for a couple of exits, but he could actually just drive on surface streets. Just he makes a I've done that drive. You make a right and then a left onto Stevens Creek, or no, left onto Homestead, and then a right, and you go over 280 and you're at the loop. So it's like, I mean, it's ridiculous. So given that's a good commute. Good job. Congratulations, Dan Frakes. You got a good commute in Silicon Valley. It never happens, but you got it.
All you had to do was live in the place where you eventually
worked. That was the thing that killed me, is that he's in the place that everybody is desperate to live because they work right there and they don't want to have a long, crushing commute. And he worked at home. Then again, among our circle of people, I am one of the only ones who is in the Bay Area. And so I'm the dummy who is living where the cost of living is ridiculously high and working out of my garage. So Fair.
Yeah, cost of living, not that much better here, even though there isn't a giant tech corporation.
That's true.
Thank God. Let me tell you, I'm actually pretty pleased that Amazon did not decide to come to Boston since we were in the running there, because everything here is, all the traffic and housing is awful already. It doesn't need to get any worse.
Yeah.
Sorry, Long Island City and Arlington.
Yeah.
But
one of our old co-workers at Macworld, Kelly Turner, used to live on Roosevelt Island. And so she and her husband have lots of interesting perspectives. Her husband is a editor at Bloomberg on the Long Island City thing, because they were just right across the river at Roosevelt Island. And that part of Queens, like, it's not really well served by the subways. And the subways are having problems already. It's like, that's going to be tough.
I think my agent either lives in Long Island City, or that's where the office used to be.
Oh, wow.
He's probably got some thoughts on that.
Yeah.
I saw you retweeted a thread from our friend Lisa Schmeiser about Crystal City.
Yes.
Which is where they're going there. And I spent some time there as well. Before I started at Macworld, after I left my old job in IT, I was sort of traveling around visiting friends, and I had a friend from college who lived right in Arlington, and I would go take the bus from Arlington down to Crystal City, because either that was the most convenient, or one of the most convenient metro stations, or there was like a mall there, and I would go find a coffee shop. But I agree with Lisa's take on that. It was weirdly desolate. This was probably mid-2000s. It was weirdly desolate, like just not a lot happening there.
Well, they're going to have a lot happening there. The other thing that she says is it's weird because there are like tunnels and stuff between all the
there
different
are. There are
places.
Tunnels down
so you
there,
can
yeah.
just like spend, and she would take the metro and lifeguard at this apartment complex, and she would just go through a series of tunnels, and the way she described it, basically she could spend an entire day without seeing any like plants.
Yep.
She was entirely inside in the hermetically sealed Crystal City. So have fun, everybody.
It's a way cooler name. I often think about like the subway stops, especially, that have really cool names that seem way cooler than the I thought about doing that once as an inconceivable round. It doesn't quite work. We like start naming subway stops, and then eventually like you have to figure out which subway system it is based on the subway stops.
That's a great one. That would be,
it doesn't really at all nerd related, but like it is an interesting trivia question. Like, can you, how many stops can I name before you can figure out what subway system this is?
Right. My favorite, I took a picture of my kids at the Elephant and Castle tube station in London, and I said, this is the best name, and people had like eight other ridiculous names of London tube stations, all of which are ridiculous, but Elephant and Castle is pretty great, because like why is there an elephant and why is it in a castle? And the answer is, it was probably a pub with a sign of a picture of an elephant and a picture of a castle, but I like the vision of, you know, Elephant and Castle. Random.
Yeah. Crystal City is up there for
Crystal
me.
City.
Another one on.
Imagine an entire city carved out of crystal.
It's very shiny, bizarre.
Gleaming. We don't know who built it, but they were much wiser than us, and they were here millions of years ago.
And they have left us behind.
Only the crystals remain.
Yes.
And the tunnels.
And the tunnels. The subterranean. This is like this is like an MST3K movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Something like that. All right. Well, thank you to everybody out there for being a subscriber to Six Colors. We'll be back maybe in 2 weeks, maybe a little longer. Depends on what Dan is doing, or maybe I'll get Stephen Hackett in here, or we'll figure something out. But Dan's travel is ruining everything. Thanks, Dan. Thanks a lot for your travel. Enjoy Mexico.
Sure. Yeah, I think I will.
I think you will. Yeah. See, I'm trying to be all threatening and all that, but the fact is, yeah. Yeah,
just
you
comes
will.
Out too nice.
Enjoy your vacation, Dan. Yes, I will. I will.
I will do that.
All right. Thanks to everybody out there for being a subscriber to Six Colors, and we will see you sometime, but who knows when. But until then, bye, Dan.
Bye, Jason.